You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. K-12 districts have been grappling with how to educate students in the fall without contributing to the spread of COVID-19. Yesterday, I talked with a group of teachers from Fresno Unified to hear their hopes and concerns for the upcoming semester. Joining the conversation was Roosevelt High School Applied Medical Science teacher Kelly Rausch, along with English teachers Christy Leba from Edison High School and Aaron Gilbert from Sunnyside High School. I also spoke with music teacher Peggy Munoz, who works at four elementary schools in Fresno Unified, and started the conversation by reflecting on what it was like when campuses closed.
You know, the day after closures was interesting because usually when we go on break, there's always this sense of goodbye, like we'll see you again. And so coming, you know, like the Monday after was just, it was difficult because you're like, I don't know when I'm going to see my students again. But coming away, I feel very sad because I know that students are having a difficult time. I think home lives sometimes are challenging, and they look for this kind of outlet. There are some students who really need school. As far as my personal experience, it has been challenging because you look forward to what you do, and I feel that it's my calling to do this and to enrich the lives of students, and not to be able to do that has been difficult.
I can imagine.
I feel like this shelter-in-place situation has created anxiety levels for different individuals, and I think that I thought maybe, no, this can't happen to me, you know, but it has, and I think you have different types of fears. You wonder, if I go somewhere, you know, am I going to, you know, contract COVID-19? And then if that happens, how will that affect my family? And so these are like looming questions all the time. And this is not a normal time. It's just a different way of living, and things are just not normal.
Not at all. Not at all. So yeah. I would like to throw the same question to Christy. What have the last several months been like for you?
Well, as a teacher of 12th graders and following the news in February, I anticipated that we were going to have a situation in California. So I planned a little bit ahead, and I got all of my classes started on their next unit at the end of the quarter. And on that last Friday, as I was getting messages from various people around school, and people were sharing things from the news through our teacher email, and it started looking more like we were going to shut down, you know, I just tried to reassure my kids that we will continue as best as we could, and they had everything they needed. They had their novels, they had a reading schedule, they had an ongoing assignment. And the theme for me was, you know, you keep a positive and cheerful face for your kids, and inside you are scared and nervous, but you try not to share that with the kids, and you just try to reassure them that we'll get through it okay. So Friday.
That's got to be a really difficult balancing act. I mean, keeping it together. Yeah,
that's exactly the hardest part, because even as we moved into teaching online, it was the exact same thing. You know, you schedule a Zoom meeting or you set up for a video conference with your kids, and you have to figure out how to be the most supportive and cheerful and positive person you could be, even though you're experiencing the same grief and dread and confusions. And to me, that emotional balance of trying to be there for my kids, but also not denying how myself as a person feels, was so extraordinarily difficult and exhausting.
Kelly, you know, there has been so much confusion and mixed messages related to COVID-19. I'm wondering if you can speak to thoughts you're having about what will happen in the fall. As we're talking at the moment, Fresno Unified has not announced what its plans will be. What are your thoughts about it?
So thank you for asking that question. It comes back for me to the science, right? And science is not black and white. Science is very gray. As we move along through this pandemic, we continue to learn things as we go about the characterizations of the virus, the effects that the virus has on different people, et cetera. And that is confusing, and it's also very frustrating for many people because we all want an answer. We want to know when we can go back to school because, and especially us as teachers and parents, right? We want to send the kids back to school because we know that that's the best scenario for them. It's the best scenario for us too. But as we move through this and things continue to change and we continue to learn more, what we're finding is that we can't make any reasonable predictions based on the science. We just don't have enough data. The sample sizes are too small. We went into crisis mode and, you know, entered shelter in place. So kids were taken out of schools. We aren't sure how the virus is going to affect them if we put them all back together and then add the layer of teachers and the interactions, et cetera. So I think that from a science perspective, although my heart and my soul absolutely wants to go back to school, from a science perspective, I don't see how it's possible. I don't see any way to do that safely. And I'm appreciative of the district, you know, of our teachers association, et cetera, that are standing up and saying, you know, we need to look at the safety of our children first, their communities, our communities, and our teachers and all school staff as we move through this process and move into making a decision.
Erin, what are your thoughts?
I'm nervous, and I have made the personal decision to keep my own children home to do distance learning. I have a lot of support here from my family and extended family, so it'll work out for us. And I realize the amount of privilege I have with that because I recognize that most parents are not in that same boat as I am. As an educator, my heart is broken. I taught 12th grade for the first time last year and fell in love, and I want to go back and have that experience all over again, and I can't, and I am heartbroken about it. But it's more important, as Kelly said, to keep our children safe, keep our community safe. We work in a socioeconomic environment that the kids, you know, sometimes don't have enough to eat. They don't have a place to sleep. I am worried to death for those kids. I understand that it might be better for them to be at school. I would hope, and I am confident that our district will provide for those kids in new ways, because we're going to have to make a new normal. We're not going to be returning to a normal.
Christy, you're a longtime educator. I'm going to ask you a question that's probably impossible to answer, but is distance education working? With an understanding that every student's situation is unique, but in general, I mean, how many students are falling through the cracks?
Well, I think that's almost an impossible question to answer because we just have a difficult time tracking kids. You know, like adults, kids are riding very great waves of emotion and dealing with their immediate situation, and that impacts how well they're able to connect and how well they're able to focus on schoolwork at any given time. And it seems to me that as we're reaching out to our kids and trying to, you know, include them in whole group activities, not everyone's going to be able to make those time periods and those connections. So, you know, following back with those kids and with some one-on-one outreach and trying to connect with them through email, through chatting applications, through telephone calls, you know, I probably would say I was working just as many hours at home trying to scoop up all of the kids who were not logging in with the rest of the class and doing some one-on-one work with them. And I still wasn't able to connect with each kid every week. And that was heartbreaking because, you know, that's our goal, is to reach every kid every day as much as we can. And for my 12th graders, I feel like they were able to manage themselves a little bit better. And I don't know if they were falling through the cracks so much as making a choice that they had to put their efforts somewhere else. But you know, it's just like when we're in school in person, you know, you have absentees, you have kids who come to class and are just not in a space where they can learn that day for whatever reason. And you just have to deal with all of those situations on a one-on-one basis and do the best that you can, which I think is what all of us are doing even now.
Of course. Peggy, you're a music teacher. What is the fall going to look like for you in the event that classes are all online?
That's an interesting question. You know, I'm not real clear, but if we did some distance learning during spring, and so it was, you know, I would drop into some of the meetings that teachers had with their students. And then we also provide recordings, which is an easier way to get your lesson out to more students. So, you know, I'm thinking that it'll be different. We're obviously the learning curve is great. So we're still in the process. You know, I know that we're going to have a lot of development, you know, as far as whatever technology we're going to use and, you know, just approaches to coming into the classroom or providing lessons for the students. But it is challenging.
Absolutely. For all of you. Kelly, I'd like to come back to you. You are, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a third-year teacher at Roosevelt in Applied Medical Sciences?
That is correct.
So given that, and so this was a second career for you, teaching was, I should say. Does that at all complicate your situation?
Wow, that's a great question. So I actually do think about this, right? I spent 20 years in biotechnology in the Bay Area, and that was a successful career for me. And I always knew in my heart that my heart's desire was to teach. And for a number of reasons, I didn't do it at a younger age. But when my husband and I moved to the Central Valley, I was able to envision that and partake of it or participate in the profession. So it's very hard for me because I am older as a second career teacher, and it means everything to me. I have a much smaller window than people that are going into teaching at 25 years old. And I want so badly to have a positive impact on the lives of the kids that I teach and all of the kids in Fresno Unified, as well as leaving some sort, you know, leaving them with some sort of life skills and legacy that I've hopefully helped them to develop over time. Countering that with my need and desire to be more vocal about what my concerns are has been hard. It's hard for me to understand or to wrap my head around the fact that maybe I shouldn't speak up in the light of all of this and I should kind of toe a different type of line. But here's the thing. The thing with me is that the students are always first. Their well-being is always first. Their education is always first for me. And so I put those concerns at bay and I do what I think is right for the students and for the community.
But in this case, there is an element of a rock and a hard place, though, here, right? Between
Correct.
Your concerns over your personal safety and your desire to be there in front of your students.
Certainly. And my situation is one that I'm actually in a high-risk category. And so that is difficult for me because it would not be beneficial for me and for my personal health to go back to school. So there is a rock and a hard spot. And I think that that is true for, you know, as I stated before in my first set of comments, I don't feel that the safety factor is there. So that part of it, that's just my bottom line on it. And for my own personal safety, you know, you have to balance. It's kind of like I keep thinking to myself, put your oxygen mask on first. I have to put my oxygen mask on first. And wherever that leaves me, that's where I'll be.
Erin, do you have any follow-up? You're in a similar situation in that this is a second career for you as well, right?
Absolutely, yes. I am a third-year teacher as well, and so I have found through the 3 years of teaching that there's so much history to our district and to my own personal school. So you kind of have to navigate some unwritten rules that you're not really aware of, but you know, you want to be respectful of the history of the struggles that the teachers before you have gone through. So I've felt like through this quarantine process, I've had to really rely on veteran teachers that I count on as sort of mentors to say, okay, is this normal for me to be scared about? should I be worried about X, Y, or Z? And I've had a lot of support in that capacity. So truly, I just sort of feel very similar to Kelly. I have at-risk children at home, and my husband is also at risk. So I feel like we just really have to put the science ahead of politics and everything else that comes with the district and the state of California, for that matter. So we need to protect our kids at all costs.
And what is it going to take for you to feel safe to go back?
Personally, for me to feel safe to go back is to be meeting the CDC and OSHA standards that have been set forth for the type of sanitation that would need to take place. And also some sort of diagram for a classroom of our sizes. They vary through the district. So individualized diagrams that show how we can seat kids safely.
And Kelly, given your background in biotech, do you agree?
Absolutely, 100%.
So, Christy, I'd like to give you the last word here. What do you think the public is getting wrong about the situation that teachers are in right now? Or what do you think we misunderstand?
I wouldn't say that the public is getting anything wrong, per se, but what I would like to maybe put back to the center is that teachers and families are partners together in the education of their students, and that teachers are also people just like them who have the full life array that they also have to deal with, as well as trying to be present for their children and the students in their classes. So I would just like to maybe bring the humanity back to the forefront of this, and as teachers, we care and love for our students. We are heartbroken with them as each week goes by and as we wait for details and information. But at the same time, we're dealing with personal fears and decisions that are equally hard. And whether we are meeting face-to-face or online, I do truly believe that teachers are working their hardest to make the best possible situation for their students, and teaching themselves how to be better at distance learning, working hard to work together with other teachers to provide unified information and consistency across classes and grade levels. and I really just feel that there's a perception that the teachers have been on vacation since March. And in fact, I think we've been really wrapping our brain around how to be better at doing distance learning in the case that we'll have to do it better this time around.
I just want to thank you all for everything that you do. And thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for giving us your time
and our input.
Yeah.